pleasant surprise to see them here this morning. In the book of Matthew, Matthew, the 28th chapter, we'll begin reading at the 16th verse. If you can, would you please stand and join us as we read from 16 to 20 into your hearing from the King James Version of the Bible. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Please be seated if you can in the presence of God. Jesus, I did a little rearranging on my words this morning for my topic. Originally, I had up there, you can put this up there if you have it already. The subject this morning, this mission is not impossible. But I want to switch it a little bit and say this mission is possible. This mission is possible. Now, I'm going to tell you why a lot of you don't realize, and a lot of you didn't even say amen to that, because you don't realize that God has you here on a mission. You, each one of us, are here on a mission. Now, the world has sidetracked us and got us away from our mission, but you're here on a godly mission. And when your God, a mission is completed. In other words, it's going to start and there's going to be an ending where the mission has been finished. But I want to encourage you this morning, first of all, that each one of you are on a mission for God. Have anybody ever got, when you was younger, got sent to the store? Corner store or whatever the store was. I'm preaching. I'm not preaching anybody this morning. Y'all just stingy with your amens this morning, eh? Starting off with them. You're holding off from January on your amens. But anybody your parents ever sent you to the store to pick up something? You know what that's it? That's a mission. You're on a mission. You had your mission was to, first of all, is to be obedient to the one who was sending you. Remember, I used to go to the store and mama would ask me to get something. I tried to find something a little cheaper than what she wanted because she already told me I could have the change. And amen. And if I can make it a little cheaper, then I'll have me something for me. And see, children don't know nothing back then. You can get cookies two for a penny. Hallelujah, somebody. Don't mess around and get you one of them big old cookies. You can get one of them for a penny. So if I can save 7 or 8 cents, a dime, hallelujah, I can get, boy, I ain't spending my whole dime now. I'm gonna get a nickel worth of cookies, and I'll put my other nickel in my pocket. But I got to come home with what I was sent for. You going home. You going to answer one day to the one who sent you. Y'all ain't following me here. You're going to answer one day to the one who, and you know what? The mission was possible because they gave you everything you needed in order to perform it. Mama used to, there was two stores down in our neighborhood. They used to call it the Alice Curvy Corner. You don't stop there. That was the block. That's where the boys hang out at, smoking. You, Mama said, I bet, don't even stop. Just keep going and go to Miss Lois' store. Now, if you have, and Mama knew exactly how much time it took for you to get to the store and back, if you followed her directions, because she would always tell her, go straight to the store and come straight back. So now when I meet my partners and boys along the way, I can't stop because I'm on a mission. and to avoid being disobedient where I have to be chastised because I violated something on the mission, she lets me know that if you go and come back, there'll be something for you. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, today this is a noble and needed responsibility that falls in the hands of the church. One might ask, how is it possible to accomplish or fulfill what God has commanded us in his church? Many in the Christian arena thinks it takes some big organization or ministry drive. Others think it means some kind of personal work program. Others think offering social events such as softball, bake sales, voters registration, and such to make it care to do the responsibility that God has called us. But how many know that this commandment from God, he's already given us all that we need?
Yes, sir.
But you got to be obedient to him. This calling that God has called us to do is more than anybody could ever imagine, but it's so very simple. God simply tells us this morning, go out and make disciples. Some of us are too full of ourselves to make others. Some of us focus too much on us to think about how we can prepare somebody else. Making disciples, and we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul gives a great scenario of what he referred to as planting. He refers to it as evangelizing, which is our first thing in this thrust of discipleship. To evangelize means simply to announce it, to announce the good news. God has given each one of us voice to announce the news. How many of you have to remind yourself sometime that I got to tell somebody about this man Jesus? Not because I've got everything right or I do all things that I need to do, but I need to tell somebody because he has commanded me to do so. And this has fallen out of the hands of the church because many in the church feel like that's somebody else's responsibility. But God saved you, and the only person that could tell about you is you. You can tell somebody what God has done for you. Paul said it like this. Paul says, Apollos waters, but God gave the increase. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. He said, I have planted. Right. Paul said, I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither did them the planting anything, neither did they water, but God giveth the increase. Now that he has planted and he has watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. If you don't labor,
no,
you get no reward.
Yes, sir. Tell it.
Can I help somebody
tell
here?
Tell it.
So some of you who feel like just attending, just coming, that's enough. But if you don't labor in the vineyard, you ain't going to reap no harvest. If you don't take some time to tell somebody about how good God is or who he is, that you won't receive in reward. I know it ain't a whole lot of preaching and shouting this morning, but somebody need to understand. I don't care what your circumstance is. Whatever state of mind that you're in, whatever circumstance you're going through, you can tell somebody God is still good. You may be at the bottom of the pits of life having a difficult time, but you need to make the announcement. God is still good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Paul's example also can be found in Acts 2:36. The Bible said, let all the house of Israel, how assured that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Watch this. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Paul and to the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Well, in other words, people of God, when you hear the word of God, if you got questions you need to ask, what do I need to do from here? Don't come in here every Sunday, every Wednesday, a time of gathering, and leave thinking, I have nothing to go with. You ought to leave here thinking that I know what God wants me to do. God called you to a mission, my brothers and sisters, to sound the trumpet in those times that the trumpet needs to be sound. Well, you might ask yourself, Scott, when do the trumpet need to be sound? The trumpet need to be sounding in our household. In every household, you ought to be sounding the trumpet. Jesus is all. Jesus is the light of the world. You need to be letting the devil know that this is the house of the Lord. We have come into this house to praise the Lord. You ought to let them know this is the day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing this day. In spite of what's going on, raise the trumpet. Sound it off. That's why many of us are so defeated. We just wait the church time to get all praise and hallelujah. You need to praise him on the job.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on your job with just uplifting and when rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Many of you got jobs and you know how the circumstances is. And I was so touched this morning by a sister in Sunday school saying that she values peace. We need to take peace on the job. It's already a fiery situation. Hallelujah. Anybody follow me here?
Yeah.
You know your job situation. Some people got ideal jobs now, but there are other folk got new. No, listen, you better be prayed up going in there. And you might be the very one to bring peace in that environment. You might be the very one got enough God in you to let folks see the light of Christ in your life. And when you step in, how many know that you can put others at peace? Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad somebody in here helping me. I feel like I'm on an island this morning because the people of God got to understand something. You don't have to let somebody pump you to be happy in the Lord. You already come with that. That's already in you. If you're waiting for me to pump happiness in you, if that ain't in you yet, I can't do it. You come with the glory of God already in you. You already had your time with God. Now you want directions on what God has for you. Hallelujah, somebody. You ought to be glorified and be thankful just to be in the number. Just to see another day, that's enough to be happy about. To be able to let somebody else know, I'm glad to be here. I wasn't hog-tied and tied to be here. I'm glad to be here. Sometimes I wonder, people, you must be mad with somebody. Be happy in the Lord. First and foremost, I'm glad I'm alive. That's enough to smile right there. I ain't got to go no further, and that's enough. I'm here. I'm in the number. Everything ain't right. I wasn't feeling good. All my bills ain't where it should be. Hallelujah, but I'm here. A little pump, a little noble cane in you. Maybe you might come through. The goal has to be announced to give the hearers an opportunity. The goal has to be announced. When you're on a mission, sometimes you have to wait and allow the mission to manifest. Mama didn't send me to store when I was 2 years old. She had to prepare me to go. You ain't hearing me here. Because she seen me when I go into a store when I'm 2 years old. I want everything in the store. And I know I'm not the only one. Used to go in the store. She spent more time tapping them hands and spanking that rump, because I told you to stay right here with me. Now, I'm just so inquisitive about everything going on, I can run through clothes, hallelujah. I can do all of that. I'm seeing people I ain't never seen. Oh, what color? They're talking different languages. I'm just excited about that, and I take my mind off my mission. Devil wants to do that. He wants to take your mind off your mission. But the Bible lets us know here that in the scripture it said when the 11 disciples came together in Galilee with Jesus, at the appointed time when they saw him, they did something. They worshiped him. You can't worship God if you don't know him. Hallelujah. You can praise him because the Bible says let everything that has breath, and if you're in here, you got some breath. The Bible said, let everything that have breath. But the Bible goes on to say, let all of the worship him in spirit Hallelujah. So everybody can't worship God, but you got to know him in order to worship. Worship God. The disciples knew how to approach God. Worship. They knew how to approach God through worship. You don't come before God with your countenance all bent out of shape. Look out now. Like you know you mad with the world. You approach him because he's God. Right. He said, come before my presence with thanksgiving. Right. Come before my presence with gladness. You know, come before my presence with singing. Yes, simply because I am God. Yes. You don't have to even call it wrong because he's this, because, but just simply because he's God. Because when you start putting things onto it, sometimes those things don't always work out. You might be, you say, I'm thanking God for good health, but you ain't promised good health all the time. So you can't you can't just praise God and worship him because you got good health. You can't. You might, listen, some people run across a little piece of money.
Look out now, look out. Yeah.
Y'all know about that now.
Yeah.
Lord, my little ship getting ready to come in. Just wait a little few while, I'm like, my ship gonna come in. You get a little piece of money. I'm thanking God, I'm worshiping God because of my ship. But what if the ship never docked? What about you ain't got no money? Can you still worship him? Can you still let the devil and others around you know that I'm on a mission for the one who sent me? Jesus came and he spake to his disciples because there was something else that happened. Also, the worshipers came, but there were some doubters who came. There's some in here.
Yes, sir.
You in here.
Yes, sir.
I know you in here. It's evidence in your praise. Ooh, Scott, don't make these people mad with you. You doubt. You, if you believe God is who he say he is, you ought to be stomping. You ought to be raising your hand. You ought to be praising him because he has already proven himself to some of us to know that in spite of my condition, I still got to give him something. In spite of where I've already been and what things look like right now, my God deserves some glory. I don't know about you, but I've been through enough to understand that whatever state I'm in, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually come out of my mouth. Care about how, what people think of me. You know, they got this thing, they got this thing in homegoing services called a viewing. I never understand it, but that's what they got. In homegoing service, people come by. Come by. They show putting them away nice. He looked like he just sleeping. He dead. He's done. His time is over. His mission is completed. You know what I mean? Irregardless of what you and I think, how they look, how they present themselves, God knows the full picture. And God, right here in this room this morning, I want somebody to know, we don't know the next time. It might be me that you be saying. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Long as I know him saying, well done, that good and faithful servant. That lets me know that I had some labor in the vineyard. I told somebody who you are. Oh, hallelujah. I let somebody know that God is who he say he is. He is our morning star. He is the lifter of the man that the one who's down, God will lift you up. Yeah. God is who he say he is. Yeah. Now, secondly, we got to understand, not only evangelizing, but we got to understand that there are edification. You got to edify. You got to edify, saints of God. Edify is teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's what Jesus said. Teach them. I couldn't go to the store unless my mom and daddy showed me the way. See how simple that is in human terms. I couldn't go to the store until they showed me the way. Yeah. It just didn't automatic know where the store is. They took me to the store. I've been by the store. They had to do that and told me to walk on this side of the street and stay out of the street, watch for cars. Come on here now. Everything that's involved in getting that mission completed, they trained me to do it. Don't go out showing everybody your money. I'm not the only one that just parents did that to. Keep your money in your pocket. Because I used to see people going to store, man, look what I got. Okay, somebody going to get that. Somebody out there ain't got the same state of mind. Y'all follow me here? See, that's what believers got to understand. Everybody don't been trained like you've been trained. We got to let our children know that everybody ain't trained to do the thing. People will use you and take what's from you that you belong to you. They got to be trained how to do that. Why is it that people of God don't want to be trained?
That's it, Pastor.
They want the party. They want the goods. But they don't want to be trained. There's a sticker out there that says something about teach a man about fishing. What's that fishing thing? All right, now if you're going to help me now, help me right.
Come on, Trill. Help him out. Help him out.
Uh-huh. There you go. Teach a man how to fish, you eat today, right? Give him a fish, you eat today. Teach him how to fish. Thank you. Trustee ain't taking no offerings now for y'all, I'm telling you. Teach them. People of God do not like teaching.
That's it, man.
They despise it. They hold back against it. I'm not going to do it. You grieve the Spirit of God who said, teach them.
That's right.
In order for you to walk in the things of God, you can't build it on your emotion. Your emotion won't hand up. The devil will have you laughing and crying all the time. But when you stand on the word of God and firm on what God says in his word, you can put the enemy under your feet.
Hallelujah.
And he ain't going on there simply because you told him to. But it's the power of God and his word that you have embedded in your heart to know God for yourself.
Yeah.
But people just don't want to resist teaching. They'd rather stay home and get themselves, their flesh pretty.
That's right.
Than to learn the power of God.
Right.
They'd rather stay home and get themselves adorned to be able to look good on the outside, but empty within.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
They run from teaching. They don't want no part of it because the devil have tricked us to think that it's not the popular thing to do. He tricked us. He tricked people. You don't need that. You don't need it. But why is it that you make your children go to school?
That's it.
You make them go. Hallelujah. But God gives you an option to come. I remember the times when I was a kid, Sunday school classes would be overflowing.
That's right.
Children. Teaching them the way, bringing them up. Now, we see the evidence of not bringing them in because what they walking around now, they're walking around sagging, they're walking around talking trash, they don't know which way they're going, they'll shoot you, they'll disrespect you, and we talking about they don't need Sunday school? Open your eyes, saints of God, and come out of darkness to understand you on a mission to prepare and make disciples first out of your own children. They ain't got no choice. You tell me in the morning whether your children got a choice whether they're going to school or not. Try it, children, in the morning. Try it with Tessie. Pastor say I ought to try this. You get up in the morning, and mama and daddy say, boy, girl, get up. It's time to go to school. Pastor say. Pastor say. I ought to ask you why I got to go to school today. I didn't go to Sunday school yesterday. Why I got to go to school today? Well, mom and dad, you telling me school, this school, This institution of higher learning is more important than the things of God? You telling me I got to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? But what about that one day that none of us go to school? That's okay, right? See the message we send? See the value what we put on? Now, I'm not declining education. Our children need education, but I know they need the Lord. They need God. Because you can have all the education if you want. You don't have God, you ain't got nothing. I ain't even mean to go all the way there today. A disciple is not complete just in save only. Yes, he's saved, but when he is baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of sin, being born of the water, there is something that goes on with that child of God. Amen. There's something that goes on with that child of God. Can you remember children when they first learn how to read and when they grasping that concept? They're thirsting to want to know. And they read billboards. And they read everything. What does that say? There's another word. What does that word say? Hallelujah. And we tell them that word says so-and-so. But why is it with the people of God we don't have a thirst of righteousness? A thirst to learn of God. But we love coming together and just having a good time. But sometimes you don't know what the time is all about. I'm going to leave y'all alone. Many physically grow up, but they're still infants in spirit. Amen. Amen. Don't look around, because it may be you. Praise. You physically have grown up, but spiritually you're still a child. That's right. But that's okay. But you got to have milk to grow up. Now, the milk of the word is simply knowing what the words say in a more elementary way and grow up in it. And some people got to understand something. Just because you know how to sing a song, that don't mean that you got the power of God. Lord Jesus, I ain't got no friends in here today. If you fully understand what God has empowered you with, you will learn how to deal with daily adversaries, daily adversities, and they will come. And you have a better understanding of how to apply the word of God to whatever situation comes your way. And Lord have mercy, situations will come. But you don't have every situation don't have to take us down. Are y'all following me here? I've come to learn in life that things gonna happen. And you can do a couple of things. Either you can let that thing drive you crazy, or you can just chill out and say, all right, let's calm down. Let's give God a chance. Let's see what God has to say about it. Amen? But now, what we need to understand, you can't call that thing into place unless you got some God in you. Unless God know you and you know God. God said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And we can ask for what we will. That's powerful there. In the book of Colossians 2:6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and build up in him, and establish the faith as ye have been taught, as ye have been taught, yeah, yeah, as ye have been taught how to walk in the will of God. Yeah, yeah. You remember when you first start driving? You remember that. Some of us can remember that. Man, people didn't want to see us on the road. When Sonya first started driving, I wouldn't get in the car. I refused to ride with her. I told her, Mama, hire a trainer. I cannot do it. I will not do it. She tried to be bold and come back. Her face flustered. She fussed. I can't do nothing with that child. I tried to tell you. I know she need to be taught, but we wasn't equipped to teach her. I'm going somewhere. Everybody ain't equipped to teach you. Follow me here now. God hadn't equipped you to teach, but he called you to do something else. But you got to get taught. The Bible says, we need to be equipped as saints. Equipped. That's something we can start out in 2:15. I got to get equipped. I got to be equipped. Listen, in Ephesians 4:12, it said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We got to work at it. We got to stay with it. Some of us know how. We just give God something every now and then. The third part as I close out. In making disciples and equipping them to whatever is necessary to become a worker in himself as we equip people. Not exactly how anybody else do it, but it's in Christ. Many folks are trying to do God's will through human effort. It won't happen. It won't work. It never will work. It never will work. And some of us got to understand something. The older we get, the more our body's going to speak to us. I can't yield every time this body say something. If I did, I wouldn't do the will of God. The Bible said I have to put that thing under subjection of the Holy Ghost. And let that body know that I know you weak, but my spirit is strong. Hallelujah. I don't feel like it, but God said, you think he felt like going on that cross? You think he felt like people being spitting on him and calling him everything when he knew he had the power? But he stayed there. Now, the only reason why we can do these things is found in the latter part of that scripture. It said, what makes this mission possible is found in 20b. Because the Bible says, I am with you always. Lord, have mercy. That's enough to shout about. I am with you. Through your turbulent times, I'm with you. Through your difficult moments, I'm with you. When folk talk about you, I'm with you. When you're broken down, I'm with you. When it seems like you ain't got no way to turn, I'm with you. When your health is declining, I'm with you. Even at the ends of the earth, the Bible said, the Lord said, I am with you. And somebody ought to be happy to know that whatever you're going through, you got the power from God to help you through it. He's right there with you. But we walk around like we defeated. Lord, I can't make it. What God you serve? I can barely make it. What God you serve? Where you going to church? What church? What they teaching you? I go to church on Sunday, but no, it ain't what I ask you. What you been taught? People love to talk about. I belong to whatever church. I'm going to lay y'all hand on that. Y'all hear it all the time, too. I go to so-and-so as if because I go there. That make me somebody. The only thing that validates me is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on, boy.
The only thing that set me free was the resurrection of the one who went down in the grave and got up. I don't know about you. It ain't because of Second Union. It ain't because of First Nazareth. It ain't because of Calvary. It ain't because of Bible Way. It ain't because of the Word of God. It's because of God himself. Came down from heaven because he loved me enough to say, I'm going to dwell among men. I'm with you in the flesh. And Jesus walked among us, as the Bible said, the Word was among us and became flesh. And he went out on the cross to die for you and I. And now that he's telling me, say, I go back to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you'll be also. So one day when my mission here is over, I'm going to be in the presence of God singing glory, glory. Hallelujah. I made it over saying, thank you, Lord. I thought I wouldn't get here, but I am here in the presence of God. Anybody happy about the wondrous things that God has present and available for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The opportunity he's given us to go out and tell somebody. The opportunity God has given us to raise up others, to reproduce others of ourselves. Reproduce. Bernard said something this morning. He said, I can see Scott in him. If anybody ever seen my father, my earthly father, they say I look like him. Not only do I look like him, my wife say I act like him. I say, you ought to be happy to have such a man. I'm glad you acknowledge and you recognize from whence I've come. Y'all ain't following me here. See, believers not to be bold about the thing. Say, I am my father's child. And let them recognize that I am a child of God, the living God, the one who created man. Hallelujah. The one who put the sun in the sky, the one who put the stars in the sky, the one who separates day and night. I'm recognizing that I am a child of God. And yeah, I'm smooth, suave, and debonair. Because my father was as such. He never ran a touchdown. He never shot a three-pointer. But he saved me. I ain't ashamed of it. He saved me. And I know I got a few witnesses in here who can acknowledge that God saved you. He never made me happy in the things of the world, but he took me out of the muck and mire. Oh, hallelujah. Thinking about where my life would have been, could have been. But the Lord, being such a just and merciful God, he brought me up out of the muck and mire, brushed me off and put the mud of life off me when I was too mean to live and too wasn't fit to die. God saved me. Do I have a witness in here? Anybody in this room can be a living testimony that the Lord has been too good, too awesome, too powerful in your daily life to let the devil know, I will praise him. I will offer up glory to the God that I serve. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now, when I come back from Miss Lois' store, Mama looks in the bag. And she says to Miss, boy, you done good. You did right. You did good stuff. But guess what? There's going to be another mission. There's other things to be done. What is it, Mama? You know you're supposed to rake them yards. People in Christianity, in ministry sometimes, I done this now, I'm through. Don't worry about nothing. I did this. But when that mission is completed, there's another responsibility waiting for you. One of the things that people, you better be aware of what you tell God, that you don't have time. Because God will let you know, I am time. And I'm just sharing it with you. And God can take time away from you. Then what you got time to do? I'm working. So what? Everybody work. If you worth anything. It is. A lot of people seem to think, because you work, I can't do this. Well, we'll take work out of the equation then. To God be the glory. This mission is possible, saints, that God has us on. But you got to keep it in mind. The mission. Learn it, grow in it, and equip yourself to do it. The mission of God. If you receive that, tell God, thank you.